Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You know, the Lord says if we won't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. You ever heard anybody say, ain't no rock gonna get my praise, right? Amen. Amen. We have a 1 minute video. We have had a very, very busy weekend around here. On Friday night, the men went to an encounter type of things, authentic men over in Savannah. And we had about 100 men in that service, and it was a wonderful service. God moved, heard a great sermon by our presbyter. And so it was a great time, and I preached 5 minutes, folks. Don't tell me I can't do it. Yeah. It was a miracle. Don't be expecting that today, I tell you that. But the ladies then Saturday had a ladies event, and I think Secret captured some of it in about a 1 minute video, and we want to see what happened yesterday. So let's watch that. Amen. We have a lot of things going on today in the service, so we're going to try to preach a fairly short sermon. I said the word key word there is try. And so I'm going to preach today out of John. Oh, thank you. Lights, light, one is wonderful. Good thing, fire and light. So after the preaching, we're going to have communion, and then following communion, we're going to do a baptismal service. And so, so if you have your elements, you just hang on to them for a second. I'm doing it today myself. Normally like to have people do it, but there's a couple things that the Lord has instructed me to give to you today. So John chapter 5, verse 16 through 23, and I feel like I'm already talking like an auctioneer, so I've titled this, Following Jesus' Example of Obedience. Following Jesus' Example of Obedience. I promise you, if you'll listen today, not just to this preacher, but to the Spirit of God, you will learn something today, and God will do something in you. John chapter 5, verse 16 says, For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them. He said, My Father's been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God and his Father, that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. That's a really important verse. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Why is that such an important verse? Have you ever worked for someone that went to college and got out and they had all the education, but they had no experience and they became your boss? Yeah. Worst bosses in the world. They're smart here, but they know nothing about what it takes to make things happen, right? The best bosses are those that have come up through the ranks. They've done your job. They've done the next job. They understand the level that it takes for every job. And they're compassionate usually. Now, they still may be demanding, but typically they're more compassionate than just the person with an education or with a degree behind their name. Why? They've been there, done that. Aren't you thankful that our judge at the end of time, our judge is Jesus Christ? He's done it before, guys. He's walked in your shoes. He's been tempted and tested in every way, just as such as we have been, and yet he overcame. Hallelujah. That's not the sermon, but just a little side note. Okay, following Jesus' example of obedience. Jesus, we are so dependent upon you. God, we can get up here and we can talk. But Lord, the talk of a man does very little. God, I thank you, God, that you're in the house. And the heart of the kings is in your hands. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would take our hearts and that you would begin to massage them. And open them up so that they can receive the word today. I pray that the Spirit would pour in oil and wine, would pour in the word, and would pour in that healing balm, God. I just sense, Lord, that there are people in the house that need to be touched by the Spirit of God. Lord, there's nothing wrong physically, but Lord, emotionally, we're spent. Emotionally, we're wore out. Emotionally, Father, we just need to feel the arms of our Father wrap around us today and feel the love and His support today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, have your way in this service, God. Move in whatever manner you wish, God, but touch your people. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. And we are not here glorifying a man. We're not here glorifying a denomination nor a church. We are here exalting the name and the person, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Can the church say amen? Hallelujah. So why are they harassing Jesus? Why are they so upset with him? I didn't preach last week, but the week before last, I preached about Jesus healing the man who had been sitting at that pool for 38 years. He was, I think, paraplegic or something like that, and he could not get himself into that pool, Bethesda. And so when Jesus walked up, Jesus asked him, he said, "Do you want to get better?" And he said, "I have nobody to get me to the pool. When the angel troubles the water, I just can't get there fast enough." And Jesus asked that question. And I would ask you the question, do you want to get better? Are you satisfied with where you are spiritually right now? I hope you're not. I'm not. There's more to come, folks. Did you notice Jesus said, "Oh, this is just a taste. I'm just tasting. I'm just watering your mouth right now. Greater things are going to come. The things that you're marveling at today ain't nothing. You're going to see some great things." I have 5 points today, but there's really one that I really want to drive home. I want you to get this. So anyway, they were upset because they were religious. They were legalistic. Do you know sometimes our feathers get ruffled even today because we're walking in religion rather than relationship? People don't have to agree with you on every point that you believe for us to walk together in unity. As long as we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, lived and died and rose again, right? We don't have to agree on everything, but we ought not get upset, so upset with each other. I'm tired of what the devil's doing in the church. If you go to Walmart and you see somebody you used to go to church with and you had to get off that aisle and go to another aisle, shame on you. If you can't sit with every person in this house right now, if you can't go and hug their neck, something's wrong in your heart. Where's the animosity coming from? Where's the hatred in Christ? I don't see it. Come on, church. I don't see it. Let's just get real for a second. I don't see, you know, Christ didn't hate these people. He loved them. And we've been called to do the same, right? In Philippians chapter 2, one of the most challenging verses I think you'll ever read, he says, let this mind be in you. Some of the versions say, let this attitude. Anybody need an attitude adjustment today? Treva? I mean, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God. It's one of the points that made these people mad was when Jesus said, my Father. Because when he said, my Father, they knew that he was saying, we are one. I'm his son, right? They didn't like that. Can you say that you have the mind of Christ? Can you say, you know, that the attitude and the Christ and the mind that Christ walked in is also the mind and attitude that you walk in? You know, if you walk in negativity, if you walk in self-doubt, if you walk in defeatism, you're not walking in the attitude that Christ walked in. If you're walking in this area of, I don't know if I'm saved or not, you're not walking like Christ. Jesus is our example for everything. You know, in Hebrews 1 verse 3, he says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, not his, he purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. When you study Hebrews, it's all about comparing the covenant that we have today with the Old Testament covenant. And so the key word for the book of Hebrews is better. We have a better high priest. We have a better covenant. It's a better system. But he says, you know, that he sat down. Well, in the Old Testament, when the priest would go into the holy place or the holies of holies, there was no chair in there. They never sat down in the presence of God. Why? Because the work was continuing. The fact that he says this, this has really nothing to do with the sermon. I just want you to get it. The fact that he says that Jesus entered into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father was the fact that it says he was done. It was finished. The work of Christ is done. You cannot add to that. And I'm so thankful. But the reason I read this verse so that you would know that Jesus is the express image of God. God is so lofty and so high up there, we needed somebody that we could touch. We needed to, you know what the apostles was? You know the criteria for the first apostles? Eyewitnesses. They had to see, they had to hear, they were there with him. And so when they write to us, they oftentimes will say, can we turn the air off? I'm freezing. I'm going to have to preach in my coat. They would often say, we were there. We tasted, you know. So it's good for us to know if I'm going to pattern, we pattern after the person that we know. Oftentimes we have heroes in the faith, right? We have heroes in life. Jesus is our ultimate hero. He is the one that we want to pattern our life. He's the express image of God, our supreme example. And so there's about five things here that I see that Jesus mentioned. And the number one thing is that God is always working. I don't know if you caught that in that scripture. God is always working. He's always working for us. He's always behind the scenes doing things. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've had times in my life that I would say, God, where are you? Do you hear me? Have you ever prayed and it just feels like your prayer is bouncing off the ceiling? Like it's going nowhere. I don't feel nothing, God, but I need you, right? Well, you got to get past to the point where it does. You don't have to go by feelings. This walk is a walk of faith. It's not a walk of feeling. It's not a walk of, ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Who cares what you feel? What's the word say? That's what counts. And the word says God is always working. In other words, in your worst situation, you need to know God knows you. God sees you. One of the names in the Old Testament that God says is, I'm Jehovah Roi, the God that sees. Folks, that ought to bring you comfort. There's been times in my life when I didn't want God to see. But most of the time I'm like, God, oh, I need to know that you see where I'm at, right? God is always working. Bible says, Psalms 121, God does not slumber nor sleep. God's always working. You know, sometimes you just need to tell yourself, shut up. I'm not walking by what I see. I'm not walking by what I feel. I'm walking according to the Word of God. And the Word of God says that God is always working. And it literally says, God's always working for my good. For my good. Number two. This is the one that gets me. Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. Now, if that doesn't convict you, you need to be preaching and I need to be listening. Because I'm going to tell you, that convicts me. I don't believe there's a person in here that can ever say, I do nothing of myself. Are you kidding me? We're so numero uno. If you don't take care of yourself, ain't nobody gonna. That's the humanistic philosophy of this day and of this country. You gotta blow your own horn. And I'm telling you right now, in the kingdom of God, that's not true. And it's not even true in your workforce. Wherever you're working at, you don't have to blow your horn. You work as unto the Lord, and the Lord will promote you. Amen? He says, I do nothing of myself. I'm not self-promoting. I only do what the Father tells me to do. And then he goes on and he says, and I only speak what I hear the Spirit speaking. How much less trouble would we have if we only spoke what we heard the Lord say? That's convicting to me because I'm a jabber. You know, I just talk too much. I admire quiet people. And you know, when a quiet person speaks, people listen. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I wish that we would get this. I wish that we could elevate ourselves just a little bit in our minds to, you remember the song, I'm only human. I'm just a woman, whatever. I never sang that song publicly. So, but we're more than human. You realize that? We're more than, you know, a lot of people says, I'm a human being having a spiritual experience. You got that backwards, honey. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. And in this human experience, you're going to lay it down in about 70 to 90 years, right? 70 to 100 years, you're going to lay down the human experience, but the spirit's going to live forever. You are a spiritual being, and that spiritual being is a son of God. Why? Because you've been adopted into the family of God. Now let's act like it. Let's understand the royalty that we really are. And that this is not meant to puff you up in any way. It's meant to change your mindset, right? Thank God for that adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And verse 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We'll go on in just a second, but you just got to stop right there. Are you keeping the Spirit of God busy? If he helps you in your weaknesses, I'm keeping him awfully busy. But here's the part you need to get. You're not limited by your weaknesses. You're not limited by your intellect. You're not limited by your money. You're not the only limitations that you have on your life is you. You are the one that's limiting you, not God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. How many people are praying about the war? How many people are sort of like me and saying, God, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray, but Lord, I just pray. God, be there, oversee this thing, help us and help them, God. Do you know there's a lot of believers in Iran? Do you know that it's one of the nations, it's probably having more people come to Jesus than any other nation at this time is Iran. You know, we ought to be praying for the believers over in Iran right now. But you're probably not, because we're selfish by nature. So all we see and do is to pray for what we're going through right now. Pray for me and mine. Treva and I, last weekend we took off and we were in this store and they started playing this old country song, and I love this country song. And it's a terrible song, but it's got so much truth. And it says, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about mine. I want to talk. And I'm like, yes, that's right. I like me. I want to talk about me. What's Eric want, you know? But Jesus says, no. Let's talk about what the Spirit of God wants, right? Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know what we should pray as we ought. And I skipped a couple of verses and it says, now he who searches the heart, your heart, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, the Spirit of God will teach you how to pray. He will lead you in prayer, but it's not just prayer, it's also life. Do you know the Spirit of God will speak to you on how to love that person in your office that's not loving? That just rubs you the wrong way? I call them brother and sister sandpaper. They just seem to rub everybody the wrong way, right? But they need love also. They need Jesus. And how are they going to receive Jesus if they don't see the love of God in you? I'm preaching better than you're shouting. So I want to talk to you today, really, on this fact, how do I hear the voice of God? If Jesus said, I don't do anything and I don't say anything unless the Spirit of the Lord tells me, he is our ultimate example. Our supreme example is Christ. If he put that in the word, he put it there not just to tell us what he was doing, but how can you do it? How can you walk in that kind of obedience with that kind of clarity of voice? I don't know about you, but I want this more than anything. I want to know that I know that I know when I hear the voice of God. And there are competing voices out there. Lots of voices going on in my mind. I don't maybe call that schizophrenia, I think, but how can we know that we hear God's voice? First of all, let me tell you this. God's voice is not harsh. God's voice is not critical. God's voice is not condemning. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, God spoke to me and he said, listen, you idiot, you need to get your, and as soon as they say something like that, I'm thinking, you're listening to the wrong voice. That's not God. God would never call his son an idiot. God does not speak harshly to us. Now that is not to say that God does not correct his children. How many of you correct your children, or if you have little ones, you corrected your children, but even adult children sometimes need a little bit of correction, right? You don't teach a child that the stove is hot by turning the stove on and putting his hand on it. Right? Come on, I want you to get with me for a second. I'm surprised sometimes at what people say and what people actually believe. Well, God hurt me to teach me a lesson. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that God will reach into the devil's handbag and pull something that he uses and try to use it in the kingdom. I don't believe that's the God we serve. I believe the God we serve loves us unconditionally. Will he correct us? Yes, he will. But it's a gentle correction. Now, the closer you get to destruction, he may get a little bit more emphatic. Hey, the bridge is out, boy. Slow down, right? But generally speaking, God is very loving. And so if you're hearing what you think is God, but he's condemning, you're not hearing God. You're confusing the voice of God with the voice of the enemy. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Who said that? He did. How come he would write that and yet he would condemn us? He doesn't condemn you. He convicts you. And those are two very, very different words. God's voice is actually very gentle. You know, I heard this years ago from a Baptist pastor, and I thought he just got it right. And he said, every child needs to hear from his dad that his dad loves him, that his dad is proud of him, and that his dad supports him. He's there for him. Do you know, if earthly fathers need to do that for our earthly children, don't you know God does that for his children? Do you know, before Jesus did anything, he was baptized and God spoke from heaven and he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, what was he doing? He was affirming him. Do you get that? He was saying, that's my boy. Jesus hadn't done nothing spiritually. He hadn't done anything to shout about, but God was speaking from heaven. I wish you would get this. Because if you get this, you'll understand that God is confirming you. God loves you. Most of the world is thinking that God's just waiting for you to make a mistake and he's going to send a lightning boat to wake you up to, right? Oh, God, don't do that. No, you need to understand God loves us. We are his children. He affirmed Jesus and he wants to affirm you. Boy, I'm going to put something in your seats next week. I'm going to get a little something out of you. Matthew 12:35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Say, why are you putting that for, Eric? Why'd you mention that? Because God is good. And so the things that come out of the heart of God are good. Are you hearing me? See, I know this seems like a simplistic point, but if you ever step into the role of pastor and you hear the people speak, you're going to know they don't know the voice of God. They don't even know the Spirit of God. And that's not meant to be condemning. That's meant to say we need to know the Jesus that we serve and that he is good and that he is, God says, God is love. That's how he describes himself. Read through the scripture. I love it when God describes himself and let the God of peace fill you with all joy and hope. Right? So we know God is peace. We know God is love. God is all goodness. And when you read the verses that what he wants to do in your life, it's all good things. You need to get that deep in your heart. Let that mind be in you. Some people believe that God speaks to them in an audible voice. And I'm not saying that God can't do that, but I'm saying that's very rare. It's very rare. And I would be suspect. Why? Because the Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. The Spirit of God is within you. So if you're hearing voices outside of you, doesn't seem right to me. So where's the voice going to come from? The voice of God. If the Spirit of God is within you, the voice of God is going to come from within you. Does that make sense? I like practical. I don't know about you. I like practical. So that's practical. I like to call the voice of God an internal impression. It's not so much hearing the voice. It's, you know, if I'm walking down the street and I'm not thinking about anything particular, and then all of a sudden Jack Herline comes in my mind, I'll know that's God. Why? I wasn't thinking about Jack. You know, so I'll send up a prayer for Jack. I don't know what's going on, but God does. Sometimes, also, you know, God will drop one thought into your mind that you could write a book on. I mean, and just like that, God will speak something to you. That internal impression is just something very small, but it's like it'd take you 20 minutes to tell somebody else what God just told you. Why? It's a download, right? God just downloaded some, that internal impression. I'm telling you, God wants to speak to his children. I wonder how hungry are you for that? I could tell you story after story after story about how God kept me out of disaster and difficult times by just dropping the word of God in my heart. And oftentimes that will be a biblical word. God leads us through the word of God. When you open this book up and you start reading and all of a sudden it looks like somebody put a flashlight on that verse. It's just boop, 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 boop. You've read it 1,000 times, but all of a sudden it's just going off in your spirit. God's trying to get a message to you. That internal impression. God is within us, speaking to us. There's something else I read one time, and I like this, and you may want to write this down. There needs to be a triple confirmation of, is this God? Because I want you to know, pizza talks too. Pizza will give you dreams. They ain't godly though, right? So there's the voice of the enemy. Satan is condemning. Satan will try to put you down. But he's speaking. I'm telling you, he's speaking. But the loudest voice in your life is your voice. And sometimes you're more condemning than Satan. We're more defeating than the voice of the enemy. So you need to know, you need to be able to decipher, is that God's voice? Is that my voice? Or is that the enemy's voice? How do you do that? Number one, it needs to align with the Word of God. If it does not align with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, it's not of God. I had a man tell me one time, the Lord spoke to him and told him to leave his wife. I said, that's not the Lord. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I can tell you that's not God. It doesn't line up with the word. Number two, does the Holy Spirit bear witness? You've heard God. Does that Spirit of God is it jiving? Is it just, yes. Are you following me? Does the Holy Spirit says yes? And then what are other mature believers saying? If you share what God just told you with a mature believer, not a novice in the faith, someone who knows the word, and you say, here's what God has spoken to me. They should be able to say, well, that lines up with the word. Yeah, I feel an agreement in my spirit that's of God. Number three, the Bible says that Jesus will do greater works than they're seeing at this time. In John chapter 14, he said, you're going to do greater works. So greater is coming. Jesus said, number four, that he is the one that gives life. It's Jesus that gives us life. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it to the abundance. So God wants to give us life in this life. And the fifth thing is, we are to honor the Son. The word for that, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. What's the word imitators? In the Greek, I won't get this right, but it's M-I-M-E-T-A-I. Pronounce it any way you want to. What did you say? Mimetai. We get the word mimic from it. Do you know that imitation is the highest form of flattery? Do you remember when your children were small, they tried to walk like you? They tried to act like you? Why? Because you were their hero. About 19 years old, they throw that out the window. Imitation, it's the highest form of compliment, but that word conveys the idea of following a pattern set by an admirer mentor. I had a spiritual father that I wanted to be like him. I always said, Rick Clendenin, he's passed away now, but you could squeeze that man and the word of God would come out of him. I introduced him to some people that I was trying to mentor, and when they see me the next time, they said this, I've never met a man that the word of God came out of that just flows like that. It wasn't like he was quoting the Bible, but Bible come out, Bible knowledge, Bible wisdom. I mean, we would sit for hours, and he and I both are weepers, and we'd sit there at a restaurant, and we'd both have tissues, and he'd cry, and I'd cry, and Tree would sit there. She cries when she prays. John 14:15, he said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said that. You know, most of my life, I read that as a threat. If you love me, you better keep my commandments. That is no longer the way I read that. I read that now as a factual statement that Jesus was making. It was not threatening. Jesus was saying, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Doesn't that change? That's totally different, right? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Are you keeping his commandments? I know we all mess up. But is your heart's desire to do the will of the Father? And if it is, you need to know the word. But you better know the Spirit too. See, the Spirit will illuminate the word. I've said this so many times, it's what Tony has told me, dark's getting darker. Folks, I don't even need to say that, you know it, right? Times are getting dark. You know, when I was a kid, being a Christian demanded respect. People admired people that loved Jesus and walked with him. That is no longer true. Actually, the attitude of most people, if you tell them you're a Christian, they think stupid. That just don't make sense. Why are you doing that? Because we found life. We know where true life is. It don't have to be popular here on earth. Still popular in heaven, guys. In 1 Samuel 15:22, he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey. God doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants your obedience. Are you willing to lay your desires down and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. And I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about from this moment for the rest of your life. Will you follow him? I wish I could grab every one of you by the shoulders right now and just look in your eyes and say, this is important stuff. Will you follow him? And if you say yes, then I want to say, then start listening to the Spirit of God. God is trying to get a word through you, to you. God is speaking. And if you're here saying, I don't hear the voice of God, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. So what is blocking the word from getting to you? It's this world. This world is blocking. So sometimes you got to go through this point in your life where you turn everything off except for Jesus. Turn the stinking radio off in your car. You don't always have to have music going. I've got one person that agrees with me. I find this, God will speak to you while you're driving. And some of the greatest prayer time is when you're driving. I recommend you keep your eyes open. Amen. Amen. All righty, folks. I want you to stand with me. Does everyone have elements, the element today? If you do not have the element, and we have what we call open communion, you don't have to be a member of the church. You don't have to go here. If you're here and you know Jesus is your Savior, you qualify to receive communion with us. Does anyone need the elements? We'll pass them out if you need one. Amen. It looks like everybody has them. And so we have been doing this for the last several weeks of communion, and we're going to do it until Resurrection Day, because communion to me is celebrating resurrection. It's celebrating the price that Christ made. We know that this little piece of bread represents the body of Christ. The one scripture actually says it is the body of Christ. And this represents the blood. You know, we had a doctor in our church one time, and when I was much younger, and somebody asked him to pray over the juice. And he says, Lord, it's in the blood that we get all the qualities of who we are come through the blood. That one statement changed my life. Lord, listen to me. I hope you read my heart today. I want to be like him. I'm tired of being like Eric. I want to be like Jesus. You know what? The world doesn't need a better Eric. They need Jesus in me. The Bible tells us a couple of things. He says, as we do this, he said, don't take it unworthy. And oftentimes we have thought about that statement, don't take it unworthy. What does that mean? And because I don't know about you, but most of the time I feel unworthy. And I think that if there's sin in your life, we need to take a moment and get that under the blood. But I really believe what this statement is saying, don't take it unworthy, means take this full of faith. When you take communion, you need to take it realizing that God's not finished with the work in you. He may be finished with his work. It is finished. But he wants to complete in you the work that he started. So if you're sick in your body, if you take this bread, I'd be praying for healing. Because through the brokenness of his body comes the healing of our body, right? You may be standing in for someone else today. I'm thankful that the crown of thorns that went on his head, I think, in my opinion, means that my mind can get right with God, that I can think the thoughts of God, that my thoughts can be transformed because he suffered pain there also. And by the blood, there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood, is what the Word of God says. Here's a little bit of a challenge for you. As we take communion today, I hope that one of the prayers that you pray today will be this. God, I want to hear your voice with clarity. And as I take these elements today, I am believing God that I'm going to begin to hear the voice of God better than I've ever heard it in my life. Amen. Let's pray over this bread. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the brokenness of your body. God, that doesn't even really make sense to me that I would be happy about that. But Lord, I know because your body was broken, my body is restored. And I thank you, God, that all of the cross, all of the work of the cross was redemptive in nature, God. That you were taking my sin upon you so that I could go free, God. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you took my sickness. You took my disease, God, so that I could stand in the freedom. I could stand in the liberty and in the promise that you are still the healer today. You are the miracle working God. So God, I thank you for this. And I pray, Lord, for every person in this building, God, that they would receive healing in Jesus' name as we take this together. Amen. Let's take it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this juice that represents, that is the body of Christ, or the blood of Christ. I thank you, Father, that you poured out your blood. You didn't spill it because it was intentional. Lord, you went to the cross because that's what you felt that was the work of God. He'd put you here for it. And I thank you, Lord, that that God demonstrated his love in this, that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. God, I thank you, Lord, that you looked at me when I was a sinner, that you looked at me when I was in my own way and you loved me. And you went to the cross so that you could redeem me from the pit, so that you could bring me back into a relationship with God Almighty. And so that my ears and my spirit would be open to hear the voice of God, the command of God. I pray right now for every person under the sound of my voice that we would have more clarity today than we've ever had before on hearing the voice of God. God, speak from your spirit to our spirit. God, I pray, Lord, that many people in this place, Lord, would say, if you speak, I will do. I will follow you, Lord. So, Father, I pray, God, that every one of us takes this worthy of this sacrifice of what you've done, understanding how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take this together. Amen. Amen. If you're being baptized in this service and you need to change clothes, we'll ask that you go right now very quickly to change clothes. Treva, I would like for you to come up and let's lead us in a song. Oh, I got it as warm as bath water. I got baptized in the creek and it wasn't warm. I'm a little jealous. Amen. During this baptism, I've asked Brandy to take pictures, and so she'll be taking pictures. We also have a document, a certificate for you, but right now, just giving these people a moment to get ready. Let's worship the Lord for just a minute or two.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved me. Sing it with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, because so wonderful. Sing it with me. To me, He is so wonderful. To me, He is so wonderful. To me, He is so wonderful. Because He first loved me.
Hallelujah, Lord. I want to read just a couple of verses. You may be seated. Why are we baptized? Because Jesus commanded us to be baptized. In Matthew chapter 28, He says in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." Why do we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Not all churches do. Because Jesus said to, right? We're going by the words of Christ. Mark 16:16, very similar portion of scripture. He says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." In other words, I just wanted you to notice this, that it doesn't say he who does not believe and is not baptized. He says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Baptism does not save you. So what is baptism? It's a ceremony that's declaring, it's a public declaration of what Jesus has already done in your life. You are identifying with the work of Christ at this point. In Acts chapter 2, it's when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. They said, "What must we do?" Remember, that was a question that came out of the congregation. It's 3,000 people that heard Jesus or heard this sermon that day that accepted him. He says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin." And Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, he says, "Do you not know that many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death." Why do we believe that baptism is immersion? And that's the only way we baptize. We believe in immersion. The word baptize literally comes out of the world of material. And so baptize literally means to dip. And so they would take a garment and they would dip it in dye to change it. And so we baptize showing the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's all about the resurrection. Folks, we're headed to the greatest day the church celebrates, and that's not Easter, it's Resurrection Day. Amen. And so baptism is showing that I now identify with Christ. Amen. I'm not for sure all who's here that's going to be baptized, but if you want to come, and so we're going to ask that you would come up here and that you're going to step over into the tub. Dale built this nice frame for us. Hunter, you want to come back up here, bud? What's your name?
Hunter.
What's your last name?
Gunther.
Hunter. Hunter Gunther. Gunther. Okay. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
Yes? Plan on living for him all the days of your life?
Yeah.
Amen. Are you excited about being baptized?
Yeah.
Amen. We're excited about you being baptized. I was baptized when I was about this age. And it took. A lot of people says, "Well, children shouldn't be baptized." Oh, come on. Children should be baptized. Let's get them to Jesus just as quickly as we can, right? Amen. Hunter, slip him flip-flops off and let's hop in that tub. It's good and warm for you. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. You can have a seat there, buddy. Scoot up just a little bit. I don't want to bang your head.
Oh, well.
It won't be the first time I've been banged. You said it won't be the first time I got banged. Probably not the last time either, brother. Amen. So we recognize that what he is doing today shows that something that Jesus has already done in his heart. Folks, why do we do this in front of the church? Because the church should celebrate baptisms, right? So, you want to hold your nose? Nope. Okay. I baptize you in the name of the Father, His Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. Oh, you got it. Fix my mic.
I can't hardly hear you.
Oh. Can't imagine people not being able to hear me. I'm so excited about this one. Amen. Amen. TJ, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Plan on living for Him the rest of your life?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hop in that tub, buddy. Are these your parents over here? Is this parents or just friends? Or
just a buddy, his mother, and just my family.
Just your family. Well, good to have you guys today. Amen. We're excited about what Jesus is doing. I might as well not roll it up now. Amen. It's waterproof. Amen. You want to hold your nose? Okay. I baptize you in the name of the Father, His Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Anybody else? Treva, I got certificates over there. You're already filling them out. Amen. Not too bad. 8 minutes over and we got all that done. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Celebrate this today. And invite a friend to be back with you. Oh, wait. Y'all are looking at me like, you can't just stop like that. Brother Denny.
If you get a chance, make sure to congratulate those that were baptized. Welcome them into the family of God. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.